This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. The following show discusses ideas and values that are solely those of the hosts. It includes regular mentions of conspiracy theories for which there is little or no credible evidence. We recommend listeners consult a range of credible sources and seek out the views of experts. The views expressed are the show hosts only and not those of Free FM.
Okay, this is From the Fringes, a program about alternative provocative views. My name's Jack Geelan. Jenny is here, the beautiful Destiny
morning.
Freedom, Rod and Simeon.
Yes, hello.
Simon.
Tribe of Simeon.
Okay. The New Jerusalem is a vision of a healed world under God and Zion. Is the spirit or a people called to bring it into being? We are Zion. Yeah, the New Jerusalem is a city of justice and mercy. Don't wait for heaven. Build truth, love, and justice, imparting life to people now. So we were practicing earlier on riders on the white horse ministry in Revelation 19 verse 14. It says the armies of heaven followed him on white horses, and eventually they challenged the beast and the Antichrist, as who is also an army on black horses. So we are already getting ready for the white horse ministry, which is the New Jerusalem bringing in the reign of Christ. And I'm not just interested in sitting around and waiting for Jesus. I'm interested in living the life of Christ, on being the body of Christ, consummating in the New Jerusalem. So we were all riding on white horses. You ready, everybody? Let's go. We're riding on a white horse. Now, the four horses of the apocalypse, you've got the red horse, persecution. You've got the black horse, famine, COVID. And then you, which is also involves the mystical blackness, which is the white light on the black light. If you close your eyes and imagine that black mystical dimension within your own heart, and then a white horse, which is looking at Christ and being part of the white horse ministry. Right, veterans in distress, ex-soldier walks for mental health and well-being. And I worked with the ex-vets back in 2004 with the Suicide Prevention Trust. 500 ex-vets, and they were suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and I had to provide grief facilitation processes to them. And the ANZAC service was wonderful on Saturday, honouring community servicemen. So are we servicemen, you know, serving our country, laying our lives down for people around us? How do you see that?
Well, what do you remember from Tim McIndoe, Mayor Tim McIndoe's speech? I can say that I listened to Tokoroa. Louise Upston, the member for Taupo, she spoke there. But I was standing at the back, and there was a family that had a the great uncle with a picture. And we, because the sound system was very quiet, so I actually talked about Sergeant Rangi was his name. And every year they bring along this picture. And Sergeant Rangi. So just a shout out to that family.
And they demonstrated laying their lives down, giving their lives for us, for freedom, justice and equality. Do you think they'd turn in their graves when they could see all our rights being taken away and people on the street and the way we fight one another?
I want to know what did you do for Anzac Day, Simon?
I yelled out for a medic. There was an old lady that fell over right beside me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was yelling out for a medic, and, she pushed through. Of course, I listened to Tim. Just least we forget. I was just there to, you know, they die for us. We've got to do something.
There's no Anzac parade in Hamilton, eh, guys?
Excuse me, young lady, can I just finish my sentence?
There was, yes.
We've got to.
6 o'clock
least
on
we forget.
Saturday morning.
We've got to, you know, those guys died for the freedom in New Zealand. Let's do something about it.
Yeah.
So back to your question, Jack. Shall we let Destiny answer that question?
Yes. What did you do Anzac Day, Destiny?
I just slept.
Yeah. Child-free life. Good for you.
Now, I overcome family alienation when the family kind of turned on me because for burning flags and standing for fathers' rights in this country many years ago. And a sister-in-law has actually died, bless her dear heart, or committed her to Christ. But she disliked the boys in the family, and she kind of kept attacking the Geelans all the time. And so I wasn't invited to the funeral, and I was deeply upset over this. And the Lord sort of quickened my heart that I had to understand, be all-inclusive and understand Catholics and Protestants. Because with William of Orange, when you go back to Limburg and what really happened in Holland, there was a massive big war, a 30-year religious war, in it, which 8 million people died, and the Dutch had an 8-year war against the Spanish king. So Limburg was the gateway for the military to move in through against Holland and Europe. So my cousins or my family would have been fighting, and there would have been the orange and the green. The orange was for liberty, freedom, and a free and a federal system of constitutional monarchy, but the Greens wanted to stay faithful to the Catholic Church, who was torturing all the Christians at that particular time. 8 million died. So I'm standing for fathers, and my father being associated more with William of Orange and what really happened in Holland.
Jack, I have a question for you. So obviously Martin Luther nailed 95 proclamations to the church door because of excesses with the clergy. So where does William the Orange come? Are you talking about a Protestant movement?
So
the question I have to you is, obviously he brought in the federal state.
Yeah.
He brought in four people.
Nationhood.
Yep. Nationhood. And so that's a great progress forward. But then obviously 400 years later, the Protestants and the Catholics talked again. So they've sort that
Yeah, but it must have been such an evil time when they were putting Christians on the rack and burning them alive and torturing them and saying you must renounce
We've got a viewer, and they've asked, do you know what 1701 Protestant law is?
Well, what is it? Tell us.
Well, they haven't replied.
Okay, so anyway, that was a huge traumatic experience, being rejected, and I've had to pay a price in my own family for standing for fathers, for standing for truth. And I've basically said to my oldest brother, don't be a bigot. Why can't you honour your own father? So you must have daddy issues. So it's really cost me standing for the truth, standing in my Protestant perspective, but honouring Catholics as well as Protestants. But this is the kind of infighting that's going on in our society, you know?
Jack, did Cindy mention that there's someone that talked to her about a Christian... What was the name of the woman that... I mentioned to you Barry Kissel, what it was your person that talked to you about Christ.
That was Catherine, and her husband were pastors and brought me to Christ.
Thanks for that, Destiny. Jack, I'm just saying, because within the body of it, because obviously 2,000 years built on Peter the Rock, and now, so what's the next step, 2,000 in New Zealand? I mentioned to you today that we stay monarchy in the cities, and then we create the William of Orange federal system in the rural sense in New Zealand. Is that how New Zealand progresses forward? You mentioned Australia before with the five states.
We all have to work in together. We have to include everyone, and united we stand, divided we fall, and that's in a Christian sense, because unless we proclaim Christ over law, all health over a family, we're just going to go to hell on a handcart, particularly with the elections coming up. So nationwide protest organised by a group of patriots, the 16th of May. So we've had COVID, oil crisis, global warming. It's about problem, reaction, solution. So, and it's all about global control from the top. And I find that very interesting. You know, when you look what's happening with Trump at the moment, apparently there was another attack on his life.
Yeah,
and you don't know whether it's an inside job or what's going on. Is he really against all those?
Jack, just before you go to Trump, someone was about to say something on here.
Oh, no, I was just, it's just like a cup of tea stuff. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
So, Destiny, what do you think about... No, carry on, Jack.
So I'm a progressive Seventh-day Adventist because I believe unless you identify with Christ and you bring in the reign of Christ and you promote Christ over everything, because I stood for Reconstructionism back in 1995 at the Christian Heritage Party, and then someone, the leader, spoiled it all. And we were proclaiming Christ. We got 4.5%. in terms of our vote. And we can see with the American-Israeli attack on Iran, the biggest upheaval in Iran's history since 1979, some US evangelical military personnel invoke war of Armageddon. But is this like you got false Zion, which is the money men at the top and they're controlling everything, and they want this oil crisis because they can control everyone.
Yep. Mm.
Okay, and then you got the true Zionists, which is me, spiritual Israel, and being part of the body of Christ and bringing in the new Jerusalem and bringing in a real transformation and a real manifestation of Christ. So how do you see the struggle with the oil crisis and what's going on? And like you say, with the William of Orange movement, we have to bring a transformation right there.
Well, Simon's got a list of questions for Albert, and I'm sorry Albert's not here. But one of the questions is about the four wives and being able to marry nine-year-old females. And Jack, we really haven't got to the bottom of this globally in this conversation. And did you do any research over the last week about Islamic marriage laws?
Yes, I know. I understand they stay the same. And over in Britain, they are actually picking up younger women and, you know, having relationships with them. Basically, that's basic paedophilia. So there's an aspect of the Muslim faith I don't like when they beat up on women.
Yeah,
and when they use younger women, you know, for sexual trafficking or whatever the case may be. Yeah. I hate that. That is totally wrong.
I only see a dark majority because apparently there's only 1.8 billion Muslims and 8.1 who aren't. So I just see, shine a lot of them, show them grace. Just they must know in their heart of hearts that's just evil. Just, you know, she the living
God. But my question is to everyone here, how do we rise above a situation that could be rigged? You know, that could have been rigged with that shooting to make Trump look sort of really bad and this sort of thing. And they could be playing it from both sides of Marxist dialectics. And so, therefore, when you're looking at sort of the COVID, when you look at what the way we're controlled and the oil crisis and now global warming, how do you rise above it? This is my question.
From my perspective as a Christian, it's having that firm foundation in Christ.
Yeah.
And having that strong relationship with Him, that whatever happens in this world, that we have Him to lean on, that we don't have to worry, and that we can cast those anxieties on Him, for He cares for us.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Come on, Simon.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just agreeing with the sister there. Yeah, well, while I'm down and out, you know, my private life with Jesus Christ, yeah, bring it on, Jesus. Love you, Jesus.
Okay, now, David Seymour said on TV, there's political violence and polarization of views. But I kind of feel they play it from both sides, sleight of hand. You're looking at them, what they're saying, but they're denying what's going on over here. They're denying the need for family restoration, the need for housing, the need for better health, for a better economy. Are they feathering their own nests with their own two houses while denying real people in this country and not really walking a mile in our shoes? And is the election going to be rigged from the top in the sense that, you'll sort of think, well, I'm a fairly well-to-do person with a house, stuff everybody else. I'm just going to take care of myself. And
well, I think the big thing New Zealand has is a free trade agreement with India at the moment. And we've just got the third official language, which Winston's pushed for. So the first two were Māori and New Zealand Sign. But the free trade agreement, Jack, might be bringing a fourth official language in New Zealand.
Yeah. What language would that be? A universal one.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, like with the trade. But that's pretty good because it's been billions of dollars. They're reducing the tariffs and this sort of thing.
Well,
so
if you take the Tower of Babel with the biblical side of things, and the disunity came from many different languages. So all I'm saying to you is it's an interesting time in New Zealand from a trade relationship because a prosperous nation was a strong nation. The reason that the Protestants and the Catholics were doing their thing was to try and England became a very strong business, and obviously the English language has travelled the world. It's not the most widely spoken language. You've got Chinese and French. I think Chinese and Spanish is more widely spoken. But only about 5% of the world's population is a native speaker of English, but 90% of it know a little bit of English. So that's the Tower of Babel.
Speaking of Babylon, is this morning when I was watching TV, there's been another shooting in the Coromandel, and the government won't change the family law policy. And apparently Boshier, who's the ombudsman, has actually said that Oranga Tomariki is corrupt with a lot of the actions that are going on. What do you think, Jenny?
I don't think they're corrupt, but I would say that they do uplifts more than they have to.
Why haven't they changed that law so they recognise shared parenting and looking after mothers and fathers instead of splitting off kids and this sort of thing in our own country, you know what I mean?
Well, the ministry's job is to investigate when something has gone wrong with a child.
Yep, yep.
And so that's why they do it.
I think it's sad that the picture they paint of males, though, like the woman's always right and the man's always the monster. And unfortunately, that's not always the case.
Now, coming back to the media, and we can speak our minds on this show, but why do the media, they always paint a bleak picture? They said, oh, this person has shot up this family, or whatever the case may be, when we don't know what the motive is. You know what I mean? And this is going on, you know, in the last 2 months, we've had three families being shot at. You know what I mean?
So Destiny mentioned it being clickbait, but I was going to ask the point, Simon, your children have now turned 18 and they've come back to your home. So obviously the financial incentive to look after them by the mother side disappears and they're back living with you, is that right?
Yeah, well, the Bible just does say that, you know, the kids will come back to there. So I'm seeing that all played out, staying faithful with the Lord. Going through the trauma and the trauma of the system, it can do your head in, but managing to survive.
That's not Oranga Tamariki's thing, that's the family court's thing.
And Jack, I think the hardest thing for males to do is to just walk off. I mean, that's almost impossible for a male just to walk off and leave your wife and family.
I went through that with my own family, blacklisted, attacked by a lot of the women because I stood for father's rights. Yeah. And they were pushing me into suicide, excluding me, because I said, I want my father honoured. And yet my oldest brother couldn't do that.
And the thing that's coming through in the theme of this radio show is that having a higher power, someone greater than yourself, and Destiny's nodding next to me, and that's what got you through, Jack, because you would rather teach and share the gospel with other people. And Destiny is the same. I don't want to speak for her. Let her use her own words.
Yeah, because you've got three children. How's it been for you, Destiny, looking after your own kids?
It's been difficult.
I didn't know you had kids.
Yeah.
I just learned that. Sorry.
It's been difficult being a single mum. And yes, I've been through the family court with their father, but
You're married to the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? He's now your husband. And
he's
he looks after you.
Yes, I raise my children how the Heavenly Father raised his children, and I apply that to my parenting.
I tried to get you to speak in tongues before. They were full of this, but how did that work? You know, Lord Jesus, baptize me in your spirit. Shukara baba bashanari. Come on, let's all speak in tongues. Shara baba ba. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray.
Come on, Simon.
You prayed.
Shandalapathy.
Okay, if you have an issue you wish to raise with the Hamilton Rates Association, they're meeting this Saturday from 10 till 12. And the topic will be, our water, is it really going to be cheaper? Led by John McDonald, parking rates also mentioned, no water tanks, line charges and usage charge. And you could be paying, what, $30, $40 a week when they bring meters in. And so that means that even if you rent a place and you don't own a home, will you still have to pay for that water?
Come on, what do you think about water, Simon? Free or
free? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's like the point is trying to bring through before is what next? You're going to start charging for the air.
And Jack, one of the things is if the conflict in Iran does kick off and the desalination plants go down, 65 million people in five countries have a week to find water or they're dead, a month to find food or they're dead. So that's
global crisis.
So we have a river running through the middle of Hamilton, but you imagine being in a desert needing desalination with lots and lots of petrochemicals.
So will the elitists have their own underground cities and they'll go under there? We don't give a stuff what's happening to people on the street in New Zealand. We'll take care of ourselves. We won't bother walking a mile in their shoes. We won't recognise the treaty in the
Well, Palantir's founder...
Life is going to be hellish. I can foresee this happening.
So people in Wanaka, so the guy Teal lives in New Zealand. So we are starting to see more and more people travelling, and perhaps the ceasefire is allow people to pack their bags and fly to their dual citizen other country.
Okay, we will not comply. Welcome to the revolution. The revolution won't be televised. Government's been telling lies. If you're not with us, you'd better step aside. Witnessing a genocide. Everything is centralized. The food that we consume, and they're spraying it all with pesticides. Welcome to the revolution. Well, shut your mouth, then comply. That's their message. Once you depressed on prescriptions that mess with your head, I got you stressing, suppressing expression.
Jack, you asked me to talk about appellants and the respondents.
Yes.
So civil law, English civil law is, so the courts will only give you what you ask for. That's its design. So it's not about justice. And so if an appellant, an appeal, asks for something, then that's where the court goes to and not overstep it. And if you ask for nothing, then you get nothing. That's then the respondents.
And apparently Tim has died. So yes. From the Theosophical Society at 55.
How do you pronounce his last name?
Sitwell.
Yes. So
we'll
Tim
have 10
55.
Seconds of silence for him, right, as from now. Lord Jesus, receive his spirit. So this has been an ongoing battle in the Theosophical Society, but I am glad they're taking an appeal because spirituality is not for sale.
So obviously the Theosophical Society in New Zealand started, I think it was the 1890s, Jack, and the 2022 Corporate Societies Act is causing consternation right through 24,000 incorporated societies in New Zealand, and the Theosophical's one of them that's gone to court. The 1908 Act had a 10-cent fine. Under the 1993 Companies Act, it's now $50,000 fine. And poor old Tim, his family put together the lodge in Hamilton, and the stress, I think, he might be the first casualty of the legal actions, because why would a man at 55 pass away?
Could have been a heart attack or something. I should have been praying more for him. But I'm fighting a battle on four fronts, this way, that way, that way. And that's why I want to bring Destiny Freedom into it again. With the five stages of grief, With emotional wounding, there's shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. So you were kind of interviewing me on how I survive in the ministry.
Yeah.
And I was going to interview a man because he dealt with his wife committing suicide and his child, daughter. Really tragic, but I've been ministering to him at the McDonald's.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about the five stages of grief and transforming bonds of attachment when they die. Talk to the Lord Jesus about your loved one.
Yes.
It's not, they call it spirituality or, you know, talking to demons, but it's not really, you know. I don't believe in consigning the dead to a dead zone. To me, they're living people. And if you work through the stages of grief, they can come to you, you know. Yes. You can experience a smile. Or,
so, like, Jesus mentions it in the Sermon on the Mount, like, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Like, that's where our comfort comes from.
Yeah.
It comes from God and being that light and for that person who's sitting in that grief and that darkness.
Yes.
It comes to support them and uplift them as well. But it is, like, a process. So love is patient, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Wow, yes.
We have to be patient with
those. I need more love.
Yeah.
You know, see me through. Jesus loves me. This I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we have to be patient with those who need healing. It does take time and they need to really lean on God as
Do
well.
Do I need to be more vulnerable and open?
Jack, you are patient. That's one of your wonderful qualities Destiny's brought out.
Now, when you're talking about the 12-step program that I put into operation, you're talking about six steps down. The listener, one, two, the buddy supporter, three, the grief facilitator, which is I use with suicide first aid, freedom fighter, four, five, healer, trauma practitioner. Now, I was practicing on my dear friend Freedom this morning and I was saying, you're 35, go back 10 years, what triggers happened in your life, what attacks? And go back another year to where you're 15 and then child and then pre-birth stuff with, you know, your hereditary line and in order that you might cooperate with your higher power. Does that make sense? And
It's definitely a different tactic. But someone does need to be open about that and humble to deal with those
situations. You become your own counsellor, as it were, and you know the steps down and going for healing and deliverance. Yeah. And coming up, number six, which is...
Jack, just on that patience thing, obviously Simon and Jenny need... Because when you're running your radio show, of course you have to be timely, but the spiritual side of you being patient is that you're all-inclusive of everyone and you give everyone time to find their own pathway.
Yeah, and I don't agree with them sometimes, and sometimes they might attack on a particular idea, and you've got to manage people and understand them. It gets so hard. Yeah. Please help me, Destiny.
I think Alfred's made me just dig into researching between the Quran and the Bible. I was looking forward to a good debate, but come back, please, next time, Alfred.
Yep, but you have to overcome and look at it from both sides of the fence. Now, I'd like to highlight the St. Patrick's flag here, which is the cross in the centre, and it goes back to William of Orange, and I also use the yellow for Orange, because that's part of our movement, and we want to have independent candidates. How do you see this as happening for the future?
Yeah, it's been interesting researching the Māori seats, because anyone can stand as a candidate, but only those that are on the Māori electoral roll can vote, Jack. And so the challenge is, I'm saying seven candidates should stand and actually allow the Māori electorate to have a full complement of people to vote for.
The Conservative Party have asked me to submit my resume, but I'm thinking, is it going to be between me being an independent candidate, being a Republican candidate or a Conservative candidate? I don't know. I'm going to think about this, but everyone needs to be registered to vote.
That's the electoral roll, Destiny?
Yeah, I am. Yep.
Good. Excellent. Do vote.
So all of us are on the electoral roll here. So that's good, Jack. So...
Okay,
Simon.
thank you for listening.
Definitely on the
We've been dealing with veterans in distress and Anzac Day and overcoming family alienation. nationwide protest. And don't forget to turn up this Saturday, because that's going to be happening. Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I will definitely be there.
Are children allowed?
Bells and whistles on.
Yes.
Okay.
I normally bring
that
Peter.
That was a whistle that time in blue, Destiny.
Okay, I'd like to thank Destiny for coming on the show today. She's made it more warm, friendly and inclusive. So thank you very much. And you're going to be interviewing me further. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So this is from the Fringes for another week. Let's be agents of all change.
God bless you all.
God bless.
Bye-bye for another week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.